All right. Thank you, Casey, for the prayer. Couple real quick, just kind of house cleaning stuff. The bathroom's down the hall. Most of you have probably been to this place before and familiar with the facility. Please clean up after yourselves. Got trash cans out here. It's also the snacks and the drinks and coffee and everything is free to have as much as you want. We will be collecting some donations for expenses and stuff like that, but you don't. They're really free. You don't have to pay for them. I'm really excited about the wall. What any lengths looks like, big book experience tonight and tomorrow. Got some really awesome people lined up to take us through this experience. And we'll start off with a couple of spiritual powerhouses from my perspective. Two people that have been here ever since I've been here and have been seemingly, I wouldn't say traveling the path as much as just really seeking and running the path of spirituality and exploration of what it looks like to hang out with God and stuff like that, and people I really look up to. So I'll give you Carl and Lindsay to take you through the first step.
Thank you.
Hey, how y'all doing? My name's Carl. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, y'all. I'm Lindsay. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Lindsay.
And we're really, really glad to be here. It's really, it's a pretty cool weekend. If you know anything about some of the, you know, all the people that are, you know, participating in this thing, they're all really, really good people. Like, I know all of them personally. Most of them have been very influential teachers of my own, and just wonderful people. And they, you know, they will describe in a general way a new way, you know, I mean, essentially. And I think such a big part of what we do here is submitting to another way other than our own. Right? I believe that's such a big thing. And the reason that is because of this strange condition that we're going to describe tonight, right? And do our best to describe. Trust me, I didn't sign up to do things like this. I had no idea that this journey was going to take me here. I had no idea when I met this wonderful woman, you know, many, many years ago when I sobered up, that we would be doing something like this together, you know, years later. But that's the amazing thing that comes. And it is such an amazing ride, right? It really, really is. But I'm going to start off with a little reading, and then it's in Bill's story, for those that you want to follow along. 16. Second to last paragraph, it says, "There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some of you would be shocked at a seeming worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is a deadly earnestness." Right? And that's what we're going to talk about right now. And we're going to do our best to describe exactly what that deadly earnestness is. You know, being, you know, where I'm at today, as far removed as I've ever been since my last drink and my last hit, you know. My life's amazing today, you know, in so many ways. I can't even describe to you how good my life is, right? Especially in comparison to how it was when I got here, right? And I wasn't one of these people that supposedly knew they had alcoholism when they got here. I think few do, you know. But I had no idea that I had this condition, right? And that's what he's describing, is this deadly earnestness, right? This thing that is swiping our community and the next community and the next community, and has been for a long, long, long time, and unfortunately will most likely continue on forward, you know. And that's what's cool about weekends like this, right, is, like I said, it presents a possibility of a new way, you know. And if you are in that position, right, where you really want a new way and you're willing to take that way, man, this weekend is for you, you know. It's a gift, you know what I mean? I can't really describe or, you know, or really explain why some of us enter into that position where we really are, man. We'll do anything and our whole life changes, you know. But if you are in that position, it's this weekend is going to be something special, you know. And they're going to feed you through a fire hose, so get ready. Right, all kinds of great stuff. But obviously when I got here, I had no idea what I was up against, right? I had no idea what this condition was. I didn't, you know, I'd heard people talk about it. I knew something wasn't right. But I didn't understand why I was doing the things that I was doing. And I didn't understand why I was experiencing some of the things that I was experiencing, you know. And why, for whatever reason, I seemed to be on a ride that I couldn't get off. You know what I mean? And that's what this condition does, is it straps you in and it takes you for a ride, right? And that ride may end in death, right? May end in insanity. And that ride may end you up right here, you know what I mean? With the possibility of something brand new. And it's an amazing gift. But alcoholism and drug addiction, you know, the way it was described when I got here is that it's a mind-consuming, bodily eroding, fatal thing called alcoholism, right? And I would say that that's one of the best descriptions that I've ever heard, right? And obviously when I got here, I didn't really know the depth of what that meant, right? Because I had very little experience with the Big Book. I had very little experience with the descriptions in here as far as specifically what that meant, right? But I knew something, and I knew that for whatever reason, when I started to drink, I couldn't stop. You know what I mean? And I, for whatever reason, I had made those connections on my own, right? But at the end of the day, the thing that I didn't understand, that I think Lindsay will do a great job of possibly describing, or myself, is this idea of once I'm stopped, why is it that I can't stay stopped? Right, and even more so is once I stop, why do I feel the way that I feel when I am stopped? Right, and that was something that baffled me for a while. Was I'm sober now, right? Which, in my opinion, at the time was the problem. Right, I'm no longer using. I'm not drinking, and I'm not using cocaine. So, why aren't I okay? You know. And that was my experience to a T, is that I would get sober and it would gradually get worse and worse and worse, right? When logically you would think that it should be getting better and better and better, right? And the reason I say that is because I knew some guys that did stop and their life seemed to get better and better and better. And I was surrounded by people in halfway houses that would stop and their life would get better and better and better, right? And I didn't understand why I wasn't like them, right? I always think about this guy, Brian, that I met out in Denver. I was living in a halfway house with him, and he did almost nothing to get sober. He just got sober, and his life, I mean, he was just like the nicest guy ever. And he tried to help me so much, man. I remember we would have talks, and he would just be like, all right, man, for the next 2 days, no matter what, like, don't fucking get high. And I was like, he's like, shake my hand, you know. I remember one time it was snowing outside. We were standing in this parking lot. I was like, yeah, you know what I mean? And like, no matter what, all right? And I believed it. I was like, yeah. And he believed it, you know what I mean? Like, he wanted it for me. Like, he wanted to give me what he had, you know what I mean? He wanted me to experience the freedom that he was experiencing. He wasn't lying, right? Because I still, every time I go to Denver, I still visit this guy. He's still, like, he's I don't know if he's sober anymore, but he's no more an alcoholic than the man on the moon. You know what I mean? Like, but we would have those conversations, and I never understood why I couldn't do what he did. He had crazy shit happen to him. He had all kinds of wild stories and, you know, running around acting crazy and whatever, you know, what a lot of people think is alcoholism, right? He had all those attributes, and yet he just stopped, you know. And I didn't understand why I couldn't do that. And luckily, I did find out why, right? And that's because he's not an alcoholic. He's not an addict, right? Well, like, but one of the things that really differentiate him during that experience and that exchange of when he was, you know, do this no matter what, is he had control. You know what I mean? Like, when we talk about, like, normal folk, like, that's, I mean, you know, what is normal? I don't know, but as far as the description in here goes, the thing that differentiates us is control, right? For whatever reason, he had the ability and the control to, he realized he was headed down that road and hated it, and he stopped. You know what I mean? Like, he, for whatever reason, was able to pump those brakes, like all of us try to do, and even have success doing it at times, but always inevitably, for whatever reason, I can't pump the brakes. You know what I mean? And inevitably, I end down the same road that I go down, and all the things that happen, happen. You know what I mean? So, you want to talk a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I would prefer, I mean, I really like listening to Carl. Can everybody hear me? Am I good?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. Okay. Which, I'm gonna point to some things in the book, but alcoholism, no joke, y'all, is like the trippiest thing. If you want to know, like, anytime I kind of forget how trippy it is, I'm gracious, like, it will be in a, besides from sitting in front of a newcomer or something, but reading The Jaywalker every time. It's hilarious because it's the weirdest thing you've ever read and heard, but it is the clearest description I've ever read. It really is. I mean, it's the most bizarre, trippy, you know, the book uses, like, we were talking about it not too long ago, like, peculiar mental twist. It's like this, like, twist. You know, it's just a script. So I'm going to read something that I really like. Because what Carl's alluding to with the deadly earnestness, which I believe, because in my experience, when I rarely meet, or even in my experience, so me and others that I get to meet, rarely do I meet someone who's like, no, things are going pretty well. You know, I think if I just, and usually people are like, dude, heroin is a problem, alcohol is a problem, cocaine is a problem, and it's not good. And I'm like, good thing we're on the same page. So, but there's this other aspect. There's this other aspect that is way beyond just this is bad. Right, the deadly earnestness, if to get in contact with that, I need to fully be in touch with really how deadly it is. You know, so there's some parts in more about alcoholism, alluding to the mental obsession that, you know, and I just think just does a really great job of describing it, which for years I would read these stories, and I really like the stories. They're great stories. And it took me a long time to realize by reading them, they'll have like the italics, and it's like that's supposed to be really important. So we'd read them, and I knew like this is really important. But to be honest, it's not, even when I came in here, my experience of being desperate or hopeless and powerless, right? I had desperation of a drowning man without a shadow of a doubt. But still, I stood no shot. Right, just like Bill, when Bill had a first step experience, he stood no shot without other pieces getting into place. So I'm fortunate that someone was in my life who questioned the logic, because nothing about alcoholism is freaking logical. It doesn't make any sense, right? So when I really got confronted with how bizarre, this bizarre mental thing I got going on and how screwed I am, then I can might get in touch with that deadly earnestness, right? So on page 36, in the italics, so I'm going to read a few italics, but it says, suddenly the thought crossed my mind that if I were to put an ounce of whiskey in my milk, it could hurt me on a full stomach. And that makes all the sense in the world, right? It really does, in my experience. There's been plenty of times, whether you addict, alcohol, whatever your deal is, but for me, it's like I really, truly believe if I don't drink liquor, shit's going to be fine. No one ever had a really horrible time with beer. You know what I mean? So, you know, the mind around my relationship with alcohol is already twisted. But this is one of my favorites in the italics, and all the stories of reading them, this is the bizarre part. Even when they're sharing a bizarre statement, and then there's bizarre inside of it. Check this out. Suddenly, thought crossed my mind that if I were to put an ounce of whiskey into my... it wouldn't hurt me on a full stomach. I ordered a whiskey. That's bizarre inside of bizarre, dude. Y'all, that just like double timed it. Why? Because I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We don't have the time. But in this guy's experience, he has all the understanding that he needs to stay sober. He had no intention of drinking. He's had the whole plans of not drinking, right? And then they get this point, and suddenly the thought crossed my mind. And then there was action. There wasn't this whole idea that I'm just not going to do it, like Carl was talking about. You know, well, like, dude, this time, just don't do it. But that's the trippy thing, is that I'm up against this thing, and I'm up against suddenly. And it's simple. You know, if Carl hit me, suddenly I would be hit in the face. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, don't do that. Like, I perceive, you know, I can see it happening. I see suddenly it's coming. No, it's like suddenly I got smacked in the face and I'm pissed. You know, that's the mind that I have, right? And that's why that doesn't make any logical sense. You know, for an individual who does not want to drink, has made all the commitments not to drink, who has actually, you know, at times in my life announced to my friends and family, sober now, guys, we're good, to drink again, right? And then I'm going to... He had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic, yet all reasons for not drinking were usually pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea that he could take whiskey if he only mixed it with milk, right? And so I would bet anytime I'm working with someone, it's uncommon for me to go through this in my own experience and others and then be like, God, I have no experience with that. Most alcoholics do, right, have experience with whether it's... whatever excuses or reasonings or anything like that, right? So, but what we're really, what I'm going to try to describe or point out is that, is it possible that if you have this, if you identify with this, then that would maybe put you in a position where you would be the deadly earnestness, the fatal type, right? Where there would have to be an arrest. If there is no change, then there's no shot. You know, it just, okay, so I'm going to keep going. Oh, God, Jay Walker comes up. That's awesome. Oh, we love that guy. Okay, so on page, I know, it's one of the best. It really is. Then we got Fred over here, right? Fred is just really great. You know, we all like Fred. Fred's like, you know, totally smart, and everybody likes him and all that good stuff, and I'm 41. My business came off well. I was pleased and knew my partners would be too. It was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. That's the mental blank spot, right? I mean, this is the thing, is that even, y'all, I had 6 months sober, and I think it was right before I lost my, I don't know. Anyways, I was somehow driving a car. At the time, and I was in Atlanta, and I just got really excited because I got this job offer, right? I'm 6 months sober. My life has never been any better in a long time, right? I'm driving back from the, one of the interviews or whatever. I'm so excited. I'm just elated. I'm like, oh, my God, look at this shit. I pull into a bar. Like, it didn't even cross my mind. Like, it wasn't even like, I was just like, yes. Like, I wasn't like this. I mean, there was not this back and forth. Like, should I call a sponsor? Like, there was none of that, y'all. I pulled in, right? Put that car in park. I'm like happy as can be. And I opened the door and I went, wait, what the fuck? you know, what am I doing? You know, I mean, graciously, I had something that intervened, but that's the kind of thing that I'm up against. That makes no sense. You know, how about this? I'm in, literally just begged my parents to send me to treatment. Please, you know, I'm just, you know, toast, will do anything, super willing, desperate. The little treatment center taking me in the little car, you know, we get out of the gas station, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a water. Where do you think I went? I went right to the alcohol. And I was like, wait, what? I mean, y'all, this is bizarre. This is not good. You know what I mean? This is a scary thing to have. And so we got the guy. I went to the hotel, leisurely dressed for dinner. As I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to mind that it would be nice to have a couple cocktails with dinner. That was all, nothing more. I ordered a cocktail. So even in the italics, we got something right then that tells us even creepier, because they ask these individuals, share your experience, like debrief with us. We want to know what it was like. So these individuals are sharing exactly what happened to them, you know, when they had, you know, drank again. And so that was all, nothing more. So I ordered a cocktail. There wasn't this. And then I thought about my wife. Then I remembered, right? And that's really scary. You know, when I really did first kind of fully encompassing understand that what I was up against was deadly and fatal and that I had no shot whatsoever, shit got real. I was like, oh my God, I'm absolutely going to drink again. Because, you know, it was Carl and then this book that really did question, because it doesn't make any sense. If I don't want to drink, I shouldn't do it. Right? That's like, that makes sense to me. But if you look at all my past experiences and you go through all of them, like tic-tac, 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 I actually always drink again. The lie is I believe that I didn't try hard enough. I wasn't prepared enough. This, it wasn't as serious. I mean, it always had all these reasons why this time I would be successful, when actually my experience shows that I don't even have a shot at success at this. That I don't even stand a chance. Right? So, those points are just vital when it comes to, like, the mental obsession, because I also believe, too, when I was here, it's kind of like the obsession was always described as this thought that, you know, overrides. And then I got really clear when I actually went through all of it. I was like, oh, my God, they use this word, like, delusion. Like, how, you know, and one of my other favorite analogies in the book and the stories is the hot stove. Y'all, check this shit out real quick. And then I'll let Carl talk. But this is crazy. You know, look at your experience. The almost certain consequences that follow taking a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazily and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. So this is delusion. I'm not, like, incompetent. Like, I have enough experience to know that drinking's bad for me, that we don't mix well. Right, I know that every time I get out of a hospital or, you know, therapist or whatever it is, like, this is not good. So if I burn my hand on a hot stove, you know, I'm clear today, because I'm sure most people have burnt their hand or whatever. We know not to touch hot shit. Like, we're just like, that's hot, we don't touch it. You know, like, we just stay away from that. But this is what's trippy. Alcoholism, the thing I'm up against here is that the burner's not on, y'all. The burner's just not on, so it's fine. Like, at the house, you ever lean back on your stove because it's off? You're not like, oh, man, I wonder if that thing's off or not. Let me, like, investigate. You're like, yeah, of course it's off. I haven't cooked anything. So you lean up on that stove, and you're just chilling. You're not worried about it because it's off. I have this obsession, this peculiar mental twist, the delusions, the illusions, the blank spots, means that for me and my relationship with mind-altering substances, yo, this shit's off. So it's not dangerous. So there's no reason for me, just like the stories and the italics, to figure anything out. It's fine. It's like, of course I can lean up on that stove. It's off. It's not going to harm me, right? Or the other things come up, you know, the excuse of reasons. Whatever. But that's how bizarre that is. That's delusion. I can't see it. I can't see. I believe it's off. So it's not even insane when I do it. Right? It is, but it's not because in my mind, it's off. Like, if y'all watch me go up to the stove in there and just be like, y'all be like, whoa. But if I thought it was off, it's not that crazy. You know, you'd be like, of course she's laying stuff. You wouldn't think it was weird at all. But it's really weird when the stove is lit up and I'm like, no problems here. And like, bam, and I'm like shocked, you know, like it's crazy. So that, having the allergy and talking about loss of control like Carl touched on, and then the obsession puts us in a very peculiar, very fatal position, which leads us to the next part, which is like, you know, it's good.
All right. So I'm just going to touch real quick on the peculiar mental twist, just because it was something that was very misunderstood for myself. Like, I did not understand that I wouldn't be able to stay sober. You know what I mean? Like, if I want it bad enough and it gets bad enough and certain things happen, I will be able to stay sober, right? I'm just going to read this real quick. It's right at the page 43. It's just a line that made no sense to me whatsoever. Last paragraph. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, right? You know, this peculiar mental twist shows up a lot of different ways. It's one of those lines that experience is king. Like, you have to look at your own experience and find out how it shows up for you, right? The reason being is because a good example of the milk situation, since I've been sober, I've never met anyone who drank milk with whiskey. You know what I mean? Like, I've never been taking a guy through and asked him to share his experience and him describe an experience with milk and whiskey. You know what I mean? So that's how it showed up for that guy, right? Well, but how does it show up for you, right? And for me, it showed up, especially towards the end, in a lot of different ways. But the main way it started to show up is, fuck it. I don't give a shit. I'm out. You know what I mean? I would be sober and I would say, fuck it, right? And that's how the twist would occur for me, because that's not true. I do care. Trust me. Once I'm down that rabbit hole, I hate that I'm there. You know what I mean? Like, and I wish I wasn't there and I can't wait to get out of there, right? But that's how the twist started showing up for me, right? Or this time it's going to be different. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not ever going to leave my house, right? I'm just going to lock myself up. And if I just stay the hell away from people, then that'll be okay. You know what I mean? I'll just work and I'll come home and live by myself. And, you know, maybe it was hanging out on 84th and Washington all the time. You know what I mean? Maybe it was those guys in Tucson. You know what I mean? It was like always it's like, well, if I just get the hell away from whatever that is, you know. And that was something that was impressed upon me as a child, right? It's like, I would make trouble over here, so my parents would move over there. But then I would just make trouble over there, and then they'd move me over there, right? And that stayed with me throughout my life. It's, well, if I just move, it'll be different, right? Even though my experience was to the contrary, 100%. But my mind can't connect those dots, right? It's always a new, fresh slate every time. It's no. It's going to work out this time, right? It's going to work out this time, you know? And my mind doesn't have the ability to keep me safe and protected in those times. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean that it never does, right? There's obviously, I had quite a few times where I didn't want to drink and I didn't drink, right? But always, inevitably, like I described, the mind would always win out, right? And it would always convince me to go back to the very thing that I promised I would never go back to. You know what I mean? Whether that was an hour ago, a month ago, or a year ago, right? And that's the crazy thing about this thing, right? And we see it all the time, man. People with years sober, all of a sudden, their mind convinces them that it's going to be different this time, right? And we know a lot of those people that it wasn't different this time. You know what I mean? But their mind convinced them that it was. You know what I mean? And so when I talk to you, when I mention that experience is king, I don't say that in like, oh, once you have the experience that the mind you're not going to be able to stay sober. Like, you'll be able to do that. No, not at all. It's so that you can connect those dots and realize that you are going to drink again. Not that you're not going to drink again, that you are for sure 100% going to drink again, right? Unless, of course, something changes in that mind. You know what I mean? And that's what this whole thing is about producing a change that will change your mind. You know what I mean? Sufficient enough to where, like the book describes, the problem gets removed, right? And then all of a sudden you're able to go through the very things that used to, for whatever, take you right back, right? All these, oh, well, I lost my job, or she left me, and, you know, and I don't have any friends, or I live alone, or, yeah, whatever those things are that we used to, quote unquote, drink over. All of a sudden we're able to move those through those things easily and effortlessly without even the thought of, you know what I mean? The last thing that we're going to talk about is the second part. I guess some describe the third part, but looks like the second. But the unmanageability, right? This is really important, and this is one of, if I told you that the mind thing really trumped me, this condition trumped me even more. I did not understand why I was left in the condition that I was left when I would find myself sober, right? And that's this idea of the unmanageability, right? This condition that we're left with once, for whatever reason, we're left in a position where the drugs get removed, right? So whether you're in jail or treatment or all by yourself, like whatever, I think all of us have the experience of being completely sober, right? And after a few days, a week, how, you know, arguably a couple weeks, whatever, you're about as sober as you're ever going to get, right? There's no more sober than that, right? And for myself, I would come to the conclusion that I fucking hate being sober. You know, like in a very short amount of time, the guy who would do anything to stay sober, I will literally do anything, right? All of a sudden, cannot stand being sober, right? And that is a terrible, terrible place to be, right? It really, really is. And so what would happen to me is like, well, I'm just going to blow my head off. That's just where my head went down that road, is because I just couldn't imagine living like this, you know? And what's an awful place to be is that line in, I don't remember where it's at. I think it's in Working With, or I'm sorry, in the last chapter where it talks about where you can no longer imagine life with or without alcohol, right? Where you start to really experience both of those worlds, you know? And that's an awful place to be, you know what I mean? And I got an early glimpse of this long before I came here, and I remember thinking, like, what? I wasn't sober at the time, but the first guy that I ever knew that ran with me, who ended up going to treatment and got sober for a while, he was in treatment, and the guy that he was in with asked him to borrow his belt, and he hung himself with it, right? And I remember thinking, like, what? Like, he hung himself? Like, he's sober. Like, what do you mean he hung himself? Like, it didn't make any sense to me at all at the time. Like, I didn't get that. And again, experience is king. And then I found myself sober. And then I realized that's why that motherfucker hung himself. It's because of this condition right here. You know what I mean? And I didn't realize that till I had quite a bit of time sober. But that experience came full circle. And I have since experienced that same dynamic happen a lot. Right, and I think we have such a tendency to talk about the ODs and drinking ourselves to death and all that stuff, but a very, very common thing is people completely sober killing themselves, right? Left in a condition so unbearable, right? Dead sober, so unbearable, they cannot imagine living life anymore, you know? And I get that. Like, I identify that very, very much so in my experience, because I would... This is exactly how it would happen, and I would get sober, and I would want to be sober so bad, right? Whatever was going on produced this willingness to be sober, and I would find myself sober, and then just like little by little, it was like I would, you know, I'd be on the upswing because you get through the detox and you start sleeping and eating and you're hydrated again and you start to feel good physically, right? But then all of a sudden something fucking happens. Just a terrible thing. All of a sudden it's like starts going down, right? And I have the experience of it going down really quick, and I have the experience of it kind of just gradually getting worse and worse. And it always starts with just something doesn't feel right. Like something's off, something's missing. I need something. Like, what is wrong with me? I'm not sleeping well, and I don't feel well. I have a lot of anxiety, and I cannot stand you. It's like a good description. A guy that I used to run with recently called me out of the blue, and I was letting him know that I was getting engaged, and he was like, "What? He's like, you're getting engaged?" He's like, "Man, he's like, you've always like hated people. Like, how long have you been with her? You know what I mean?" And that, like, he just knew me at that experience that, like, for whatever reason, I just hated people, right? I was so delusional, you know what I mean, that I just couldn't stand people sometimes, you know what I mean? And he was one of those guys, I guess I could stand, where he was around long enough to see that part of me, you know? But that's what would happen. The condition would just start to get so unbearable, you know what I mean? And eventually I would always drink, you know what I mean? Why? Like, because the thing I didn't get is that, you know, there was such a focus on what alcoholism or what alcohol and cocaine were doing to me, right? Like all the crazy stuff that happens and the health issues that I was having and the drama, right? But what I didn't realize is that the reason I was going back, the reason my mind would always take me back, isn't because I'm some nut job. It's because it's producing an experience that is treating the very condition that I can't stand anymore. You know what I mean? And I hate one-liners, but the idea that alcohol treats alcoholism is as true as anything I know. You know what I mean? That's why I'm going back to it. I'm not going back to it because, you know, I love staying up for 5 days. You know what I mean? Like, I fucking hate that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I hate staying up day in, day out, right? I go back because when I start to use, it produces something that is so profound, right? And it treats that condition, if only for an instant. You know what I mean? And that's the mental, I guess, you know, that's this crazy ride that we end up on, right? And they describe it, you know, that we get sober and then we get drunk and we get sober, and that's how it was, you know. It's just this crazy cycle of, I cannot live like this anymore, I need something new. But then I'm sober, and it's like, I cannot live like this. It's just unbearable, you know. And I never experienced any freedom sober, and so I couldn't imagine why I would ever want to do that, right? But at the same time, I never did any of the things that they're going to describe in this weekend, you know what I mean? And so I found myself completely baffled, you know what I mean? And I'm so fortunate that what happened to me because my journey did not start off this time like a lot of people that I know where they found a great sponsor and they started going through the steps and everything was great. Like, my journey started off like it always did, man. I want to be sober. I'm going to be sober. I cannot wait to be sober. And then I was sober and I was literally thinking about blowing my head off again, and I didn't know what to do. And some crazy turn of events had happened where I was placed in a position where for the first time in my whole life I was willing to submit to another way other than my own, you know what I mean? But it really was this crazy, horrible condition that we're describing tonight that made all of that possible, you know what I mean? And that's why, as much as sometimes I look on the peripheral and alcoholism and drug addiction is such a despairing thing, and it kills most, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, there's this, I don't know if it's like this deep love relationship I have with it now, because it did. It produced something in me finally that changed my whole life, you know what I mean? I mean, I promise you, long before the drugs, things were not going good for me. You know what I mean? They were not going good for me at all. I was not headed down a good road, regardless of the drugs. You know what I mean? And the condition that I always came to sober was not good. Like, something was going to have to treat that condition for me to live in this world, you know? And so I'm very blessed to have had this crazy thing, because I don't know where I would have ended up, you know what I mean? And so, yeah.
Oh, thanks, Carl. I don't have much else to add. That was very comprehensive. But in short, I think for my experience, and we went over it, like, understanding or seeing the allergy was not difficult for me in my experience. It's loud as day. I mean, it's just, like, loud. Being questioned with the obsession that we went over was pretty profound, and I kind of started to settle in. Now, when I didn't really fully understand this, our lives had become unmanageable, or the spiritual malady, or whatever, however you want to look at that portion, for a while, because I had no language to describe what Carl just described. So my entire life, in the book, when it talks about, to them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one, they're restless, irritable, and discontented. That state of being was so, I had it for so long. So when alcohol was removed from me, I'm not going to get into all a bunch of stories, don't have much time, but when it was removed from me and I started to experience this stuff, right, which is like high uncomfortability, right, high separation. I had been like that for so long, it wasn't like, oh, this is weird. It's like, dude, I have been weird and uncomfortably terrified forever. So what it was, but it was pain. It was like increased pain to where, like, I'm in a halfway house pretending, drinking apple juice, pretending it's whiskey, praying for a buzz, telling everyone I'm okay and I'm going to be okay and I want to stay sober, and I did, but damn, everything in me wants to drink. Like, I can't tell you. I had no language for that. And then I would, no one else, not many people around me had language for it either. They're like, don't worry, you're just suffering from untreated alcoholism. Hang in there. It was just like, you know, I'm just like trudging through, like praying to God, you know, like, yeah. And it's really, really a bizarre thing, because what Carl described, me being removed from alcohol, I'm just left with me. And the whole entire, having a first step experience and then possibly getting in touch with someone who's properly armed with the facts about themselves might actually put you in a position to complete the entire process, right? And by that, the book, the result is a spiritual awakening, right? To an awakened spirit, which is exactly what alcohol did for me, right? So what alcohol did for me was it allowed me to somewhat be with you, somewhat be with me, somewhat numb things out. I mean, we could enter in and really discuss it. And if I don't have an experience of that nature, I'm inevitably left with the only thing that has ever done that for me. There's only been two things that's ever done it. It's been alcohol, or it's been, through the 12-step process, a relationship with power, relationship with God. Because what alcohol does for me, it relieves me of the bondage of me. Right? That's why I'll always drink again. That's why when you remove it from me, and I can know everything about the allergy, I can read you the big book about the obsession, I can describe it, but you know what? You can't describe that thing. I don't have a solution for that thing, me, right? This icky, uncomfortable, like, no, we're all good, like, no, I really care about you, but I don't know how, like, whatever. Alcohol will always do for me. So that's why I'll always drink again. That's why I can't see the hot stove. It will propel me enough where it gets so unbearable, but I can't see it happening, right? So in my experience, like, if anyone has it's desperation, or they're willing or curious or any of that, wow, you're lucky. You know what I mean? Because even when I was desperate and was willing to do anything, doesn't mean I'm all of a sudden not delusional. You know, I still have alcoholism. So even understanding and learning this, the real deal really comes by having the experience in the whole gig, you know. I think that's it. Do you want to say anything else? Okay, well, y'all, thank you for thank you for participating.
take a 15-minute break, come back at 15:15.
How are you? I have no idea.